It was in a garden ages ago that paradise was lost, and it is in a garden now that it would be regained. But Mary Magdalene doesn't know that. For her, the hobnail boot of the Roman Empire has crushed her hope and ground it into the dirt with its iron heel. Her hope was Jesus. He had changed her life, and she had followed him ever since. He had cast 7 demons out of her, freeing her from torment. He had given her life, a reason to live, a place in his kingdom. He had given her worth, dignity, understanding, compassion, love, and he had given her hope. But now that hope lies at the bottom of her heart, flat and lifeless. But something helps her survive the cruel boot, something resilient, like a blade of grass that springs up after being stepped on. That something is love. Love brought Mary to his cross, and love brings her now to his grave. But as she winds her way along that dark garden path, she stumbles upon a chilling sight. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb has been violated. When she thinks that life couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. The night gets darker, her hope dimmer. Not even a pinpoint of starlight shines for her now. As she turns to tell the disciple, a legion of questions haunt her. Who took the body? The Roman government? The religious leaders? Why? What would they want with it? They have given him a criminal's burial by dumping him outside the city in the garbage fires? They've put him on display to further mock him? She finds Peter and John and, in breathless fragments, reports what she sees. They rip through the night on a ragged foot race to the tomb. Mary tries to follow, but her side is splitting. She will catch up, she tells herself when she catches her breath. His lungs burning, Peter stoops and steps into the entrance of the cave. The wings of dove-gray dawn have extended a soft feather of light into the cave. As his eyes adjust, he takes careful notice of the burial wrappings made rigid by the resin from the spices. That linen cocoon lays intact on the stone slab. Intact, but hollow. Doubt and faith intermingled in their minds, bewildering them as they slowly walk away. Mary is left behind, tears her only companions. She takes those tears with her as she enters the tomb to take a look for herself. And suddenly, the woman who was once possessed with demons finds herself in the presence of angels. One stands at the head of the stone slab, the other at the foot. Like the Ark of the Covenant in the Most Holy of Holies, the most holy place of the tabernacle, cherubim on either side, for this too is a most holy place. She is despondent as she tells them the reason for her tears. Then, from behind her, another voice reaches out. Woman, why are you crying? She wheels around. Maybe the morning is foggy. Maybe the tears is blurring her eyes. Maybe Jesus is the last person she ever expects to see. Whatever the reason, whatever the case, she doesn't recognize him until... Mary. She blinks away the tears. She can hardly believe her eyes. Master. Overwhelmed, she throws herself at him. Throws her arms around the Lord she loves so much. She had been there when he suffered at the cross. Now he is there when she is suffering. She had stood by him in his darkest hour. Now he's standing by her in hers. He had seen her tears. Now he's there to wipe them all away. Jesus interrupts the embrace to send her on a great commission to tell the disciples the good news. He is risen. I've seen him. I've touched him. He's alive. And so too now is her hope. My friends, in his triumph, Jesus could have paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. He could have knocked on Pilate's door. He could have confronted that high priest. But the first person our resurrected Lord appears to is a woman without hope. And the first words he says, "Why are you crying?" What a Savior we serve, or rather, who serves us. For in his hour of greatest triumph, he doesn't shout the victory from the rooftops. He comes quietly to a woman who grieves, who desperately needs to hear his voice, who desperately needs to see his face and feel his embrace. My friends, are you seeking the Lord today? Let me ask you that question that the angel asked. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? In this year of COVID-19, we have seen much. We have seen despondency, depression. We have seen many tears. It's time to open our eyes and embrace the risen Lord. Let's pray together. Dear risen Lord, how hard it is to see clearly when devastating circumstances bring me to a tomb of grief and fill my eyes with tears. How blurry everything gets. Even you get blurry, and the sound of your voice becomes strangely unfamiliar. Help me to blink away those tears to see that you are standing there beside me, wanting to know why I am crying, wanting to know where it hurts, wanting to wipe away every tear from my eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for being there, for never leaving me or never forsaking me, even in the darkest and chilliest hours of my life. From those circumstances that have shrouded my heart and entombed me, I pray that you would roll away the stone. It's too heavy for me, and I'm too weak to roll it away on my own. Where there is doubt, roll away the stone and resurrect my faith. Where there is depression, cast aside the grave clothes and release my joy. Where there is despair, chase away the night and bring a sunrise to my hope. And yes, in my doubt, in my depression, in my despair, help me to continue to love you, even if I don't understand you. And I rejoice that no matter how dark the Friday or how cold the tomb, with you as my risen Lord and Savior, there is always the hope of an Easter morning. Amen.